Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Marilyn, Mike, and it was what Ike was talking about in the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
LeGarrette has the big run, and then he goes right after him.
Oh, man.
And one thing I also noticed about Nick, the play actions, the RPOs, when he gets in rhythm like that, when he's at his best.
It's a beautiful thing to watch.
He sells it well.
And when he can throw on time.
Yes, timing, he's very good, too.
You know, timing is what he needs. It's difficult for Nick to either throw on the run or set up, move, and then have to reset to throw the ball. He's not as fluid of an athlete as a Carson is. That's why Carson and a guy like Aaron Rodgers, they can throw the ball from all different arm slots.
You want them. You want him out there
doing that. They can do that. But with Nick, and Nick can do it sometimes. He's just not great at doing it.
Because he made a couple plays like that yesterday.
Yeah. He can do it. He just looks like he's lumbering when he's doing it. He doesn't look as fluid. But that throw to Alshon, man, I mean, that was a back shoulder throw. He recognized it was one-on-one. And then the catch. You don't get to appreciate the catch until you see the replay. Alshon jumps, turns his body, almost has to double clutch while he's in the air, catches the ball, and is able to come down with it inbounds. Oh, by the way, he was on a torn rotator cuff doing all of this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a beautiful catch. It was a beautiful throw.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, they came to play.
Yeah.
Doug is calling the game, and Nicky Six is dealing already. Because before then, most of the throws were like little quick timing throws to make him comfortable.
The RPO.
Yes, they were the RPO. So that was really like the first one they went up top with.
Mm-hmm.
And made it even sweeter. It was over Eric Rowe that everybody was crying about us trading to the Patriots.
So Trey, at that time it was 3-3.
It made it even better.
The Eagles get the ball, 4:12 left to go in the first quarter, and LeGarrette has the 36-yard run that we had right there. And then Nick Foles goes right for it, 34 yards. It's a quick drive.
Yeah.
But you get the touchdown right there. 1:43 to go 77 yards, and then Jake Elliott misses the extra point.
Come on, Jake.
So it's only 9-3.
Kickers.
That was you know what? That was the worst part of the game for both teams.
Come on, Jake.
Screwing up field goals and extra points.
For the
Patriots and the Eagles.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Donnie Jones just sat on the sideline all game.
One punt the whole game.
One punt for
both teams.
Or at least he got his leg warmed up a little bit then. He got one in.
Well, you can say he played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he played. You know, he had 40-something yards.
Honestly, you're a punter, you get to the Super Bowl, and your team is so good, they don't punt all day.
Like New England.
You can't even say you played in the game.
He didn't play
in the
game.
You warmed up.
Well, they maybe held the extra point.
Held the extra point.
Yeah.
Marks and Reese on the Trade Day. Trey Thomas, John Marks, Ike Reese, and you. 888-729-9494. For reliving the Super Bowl as we watched it last night, the replay on NFL Network. Thousands of people tweeting in. Ben, can we use the hashtag, the Super Bowl replay hashtag right now? Tweet us your memories at Mark Sreese WIP and use that hashtag, and we'll read some of the great ones. Let's go to the phones. We'll start off with Bob in Marlton, New Jersey. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Bob.
I got a question I want to ask, but I watched that last night for the upteenth time, and it's on my DVR along with the Minnesota game and the Atlanta game. And I was fortunate enough to have my picture taken with the Lombardi Trophy. And my son knows that when they print my obit, that's the picture that goes in the paper.
Okay.
But because it's cool. I'm just so thrilled still. But I got a question. Have we ever gotten this Malcolm Butler story straight from gang of thieves up there in New England? and are we ever going to hear anything about it?
Probably never will.
Yeah. Something tells me that now Malcolm Butler is claiming ignorance, and I don't mean that as an insult. He's just saying he don't know why he got benched.
Let me say this.
I've heard a lot of different.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of different stuff put out there.
Thrown out there.
I'll say this. It's amazing that nothing's come out really concrete about this.
Yeah.
With all the leaks and all the people talking, it's amazing that nothing has got out about this.
Right.
Talk about a guy that was considered one of the better corners in the league, mm-hmm. that was a Super Bowl hero just a couple years before, and is crying during the national anthem and doesn't play except on special teams.
Yeah.
And no information's given.
Yeah.
It's
Belichick.
It's Belichickian, yeah.
Listen, something happened.
Something definitely happened.
Something happened.
Well, he was sick.
Yeah.
And he didn't, was he not on the plane, the original plane?
I've heard that too. Yeah. I've heard that too. Yeah.
Something like that. There's been rumors about some
weed. They didn't believe he was really sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's several stories out there.
A lot of things swirling.
The good thing, the one thing I'll say about the Patriots, even though Belichick has taken a ton of heat for that, the organization could have leaked out a story on him if they wanted to clear Belichick.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No, they didn't. No, there was nothing.
They just remained silent on it.
There was nothing that was put out. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
And Malcolm Butler, other than saying he doesn't know why, I don't think he made a big stink about it enough as if.
Well, free agency.
Right.
Yeah.
He's lucky that stuff didn't get leaked.
He still got paid.
So
he still wound up getting paid.
So that's probably why he didn't want to say anything about it because now, you know. Because
you know what happens. The minute he starts making, then Belichick says, all right, I'm going to put stuff out in the media.
Yeah.
He got paid.
Something happened, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody, it was Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I think
so.
Tennessee.
Yep. Bill in South Jersey. Bill.
Yo, Reese.
Yo, Bill.
What's up, brother?
Yo, that catch Clement had in the end zone where Collinsworth, the announcer.
Yeah,
he was hating on Clement. He said that was no catch. Man, he is a bum.
Took two calls to get
It was questionable.
It was a questionable.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, Bill. I still don't know if it was a catch. Now they called it a catch, so it doesn't matter. But it was a questionable catch. It was at least it was fair to question that one, not Zach Ertz's.
But Zach Ertz's, they had the Jesse James Pittsburgh catch. They'd overruled it.
Yeah.
A lot of people complained.
The Clement ball moved a little bit.
It was a movement. And you didn't know which.
He didn't lose control of it.
No, but okay. Where do you start counting the steps?
I don't know.
It's like they count the steps as soon as the ball hit his hand. All right, that's one, two. All right, hey, we're good. Let's call it. You know.
Yeah. And throughout that whole game, man, he was hating on the Eagles the whole time.
Yeah, man.
Now, that's true.
Hey, Chris Collinsworth was riding big time.
The funny thing, because people were talking about that night and really the next day, right, after the Eagles had won the Super Bowl and they were recounting the game and what have you.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to make sure they pointed out how bad Chris Collinsworth was.
Oh, man.
Well, here's the thing. They had won the Super Bowl. I didn't really focus in on Chris Collinsworth the first time around.
Second time, I agree with you.
Right? But when people were pointing it out afterwards,
mm-hmm.
when I finally got a chance to see snippets of the game copy or whatever, then, yeah, you could clearly hear in Chris Collinsworth's voice. I won't say he was rooting against the Eagles, but he certainly had a slant towards the Patriots as if they just knew the Patriots were going to win. And they were ready to crown.
Yeah, I don't even think he knew. Yeah. He knew
like
what he sounded
Patriot
like.
Underwear on.
Exactly. It was almost as if they came in with this sort of narrative, right?
Yeah.
We're going to play up Tom Brady and how great he is. This is about to be their sixth Super Bowl championship. And it didn't happen.
That's going
to
be our first Twitter poll.
It didn't happen.
Because, I just find him to be annoying sometimes. Mm-hmm. I actually think he's really good.
You ought to hear his son.
Is that right?
Sounds just like him.
Is that right?
He's on ESPN. He does. He's one of the sports centers.
Is that right?
He's one of those guys.
Man.
Yeah. Looks completely awkward.
I like him. Sometimes he gets a little bit over the top, or he just keeps going and going and going. It's whatever. I wonder if people heard the same thing if you watch it. So if you watched, have you watched the replay? Put it up, Ben. Was Collinsworth slanted towards the Patriots?
Absolutely.
It took two calls. Their second call went after him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So here's listen to Trey. Listen to what we have today for. We have a little prize. Pair of tickets to a championship season with the Philadelphia Orchestra, hosted by Merrill. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Takes place Tuesday, July 24th at the Mann Music Center. Relive NFL films, stunning video highlights of the Philadelphia Eagles championship season. They put up three giant screens, and then they have the Philadelphia Orchestra performing live, uplifting pretty much the NFL Films music.
That's pretty cool.
Underneath it, portion of the proceeds from this performance supports the Mann Center's free arts education initiatives and the Eagles Autism Challenge. Tickets available at manncenter.org. So we have a pair of tickets we're going to give away. So we want to do it like this. When you call in, you tell us your takeaways from the game or whatever, what's the first thing that you did? Or what's your memorable story from after the Eagles won the Super Bowl? Right? Like, Trey, what we found out about after the Eagles won the Super Bowl was just how much it meant to so many people, families, mm-hmm. with loved ones that weren't with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a friend that passed away, huge Eagle fan, in the year before. Prior to the Super Bowl, friends went and put an Eagle blanket over his grave.
Wow.
And then afterwards went and put some of the Super Bowl memorabilia on his grave. And it was like, for all the people that, yeah, you know this from being a player, all the people that just waited their entire life to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl, they got to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big time, man. And I was actually at the Fillmore doing the pregame show. So I stayed there and watched the game and then just celebrated with the fans there, man. And then went out in the streets a little bit. I didn't really take to the streets and walk down Broad. I went on and took the back roads home and just celebrated with my family.
We know what Ike's first thing he did, put out a profanity-laced tweet, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the best tweets I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot what it was. What was it?
I think something it involved like, the word with an F in it.
Oh, yeah. It was my Chase Utley moment.
Oh, okay.
I was beautiful, man.
Oh, it was my Chase Utley moment.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just went all in. Let everybody know how you feel.
Man, so, I'm pretty sure everybody else felt the same way.
Same way, exactly,
dude. Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody felt the same way.
Same way. So tell us what you did when the Eagles won. The best story or whatever will win the pair of tickets to.
I don't think I deleted that either for about a month either, man.
Oh, you have deleted it?
Yeah, I think I have since then. Yeah. I think Pastor Teddy told me something about that, though.
Pastor Theodore pulled
to the side. Yeah.
Hey, look, we said the next day. I don't think my pastor's very happy about that.
I think he's happy about that one. Yeah.
Let's go to Brian in Westchester.
It's not one of my prouder moments, but hey, it happened.
What's up, Brian? How you doing?
Hey, guys.
All right.
What's up, Brian?
Ike is absolutely right. What Alshon Jeffrey did in that game was unbelievable. It should be legendary. I'm not quite sure why people aren't recognizing the greatness of his performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all three of his catches were huge
catches. Plays. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The other player that stood out to me going into the game, I thought offensive line was going to dominate. I worried about Vitae, not the most talented left tackle we've had. We've had some great ones with Jason and Trey, but he held his own. He didn't lose really any battles. So props out to Vitae.
Yeah. Yeah, he balled, man.
I mean, Vitae, Big V deserves a lot of props, not just for that game.
But just filling in.
Hey, man.
Yeah, he pretty much filled in, 10 games?
Yeah.
11 games?
And Hassan is a load now, man. A lot of people, man, you know, he is a extremely difficult defensive end to deal with. He's not a tall guy. He's about 6'2", and like 260 pounds of muscle. And, I mean, he's going to bring it every play. I mean, I think there was a little pressure here and there, but, I mean, you have to expect that, man. It's a Super Bowl. You're going against the best in the game. And Vitae held his own out there, man. He did a really good job.
Yeah. He did. He did. And Trey, how much do you point to? We talked about Doug Peterson and really who was the real MVP of the game, Doug or Nick?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting question, but how much of that goes to Doug Peterson? Here's what he did with Nick Foles. He said, I have to figure out how to get him back to the Nick Foles that had success before after he had struggles late in the year. He did that in the playoffs. What about a left tackle that you're putting out there? It's a left tackle, man. Yeah. I mean, you talk about a spotlight on a player.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're going to call some plays that's going to give you some misdirection. I think the RPOs really helped out a lot of the play action. Because now, even on the one play, the big pass to Jeffries in the touchdown, I mean, you had an end coming up. The running back had to come and get that extra chip to free it up, you know, because
I think it was Harrison.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's coming bearing down, you know, so. Yeah. Now that means that you have Jay Ajayi or whoever the running back was at the time had to go and pick him up to allow Foles to step up and make that big throw. I think as a unit, though, man, everybody performed extremely well when it came to picking up the different blitzes that were coming and just, you know, protection and all, man. They did a really good job of keeping it clean.
Yeah, that offense was particularly the offensive line. I mean, just down the stretch, you know, Nick's struggles weren't because – he was under duress.
Mm-mm.
He didn't have time to throw the football. You know, the offensive line, I thought, I mean, They were really like the unsung heroes of the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, they really were. You lose a guy like Jason Peters for the entire season, basically. Two-thirds of the season.
Yeah.
And your offense doesn't miss a beat.
Mm-mm.
Offense doesn't miss a beat. And the run game was better in the second half of the season than it was in the first half of the season.
No, but you know what? It's just
running game, they picked up Ajayi. I mean, the running game got even better the second half of the season.
Yeah. It's amazing, Trey, because you almost forget that they lost Carson Wentz when you're watching the Super Bowl and you're talking about it, because Nick Foles did such a great job and they won.
Yeah.
You think about that. You lost a Hall of Fame left tackle,
mm-hmm.
and you lost maybe the MVP of the league at quarterback.
Definitely.
And you won the Super Bowl.
You won it. I mean, but Nick Foles just balled, man. I mean,
who's the MVP, Doug or Nick?
I go Nick.
Doug.
I go Nick, man. Because,
really?
You know, just going back and watching that game and just – because when you look at the numbers, and I looked at the box score before I looked at the game, and, you know, you look at all the stats and your numbers, and you're like, man, just going off the box score, we lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking forward to seeing how everybody performed and just going back over it again. But, man, I mean, Nick Foles just really was lights out. I mean, he made some beautiful throws out there. When it was on, it was on. And, I mean, you can see that starting QB,
mm-hmm.
the potential that he has in him. If he can play that like that way every game.
Yeah, we know it's in him.
It's in him.
When that dude gets hot, he seems like he's a top-10 quarterback in the league when he's on his game.
You know, it shows you how tough it is to do over an entire season, year after year.
And that's really what it boils down to. But when I look at Dougie P, see, Dougie P had to break Nick down and reconstruct him.
He
had,
did.
Had to fix him.
He
had
took
to
the bye
out,
week.
Had to figure out what it is Nick does well, implement it. And from that second half of that Falcons game,
woo!
I mean, he unleashed him in the Minnesota Viking game.
Yeah.
And then by the time they got to the Super Bowl, indoors.
Well, you know what?
It was like Doug was out there with Nick.
Yeah.
Doug was saying, see, if Brett Favre went down, this is what I would have been doing.
Exactly.
Now, reality was.
I would have been able to bring it home.
That's right. That's what Doug was saying.
We got to rewatch the Viking game. I don't think I've watched it.
Oh, yeah.
I have it on DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got to rewatch
that game.
That's a great game to watch.
That's a good one to watch. Yeah.
All right, the Ike Choose Hotline. We do it live today. Here's the number, 215-625-6586. Share your favorite memories on the Ike Choose Hotline. We'll play the best ones at 4 o'clock, 215-625-6586. So many memories, so many unsung heroes. And can you retweet my tweet, Ben, if you already didn't? Who had the better game, Nick Foles or Doug Peterson? Right now, about 2,000 votes, Nick Foles is in the lead.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I don't
man.
Give Dougie P his credit.
I don't know.
Doug did a good job, man.
It's hard to argue with the quarterback, but yeah, I kind of lean towards Ike in this one.
Hey, man. Hey,
Doug
Nick Foles came out there and balled.
Yeah,
man.
Nick Foles didn't call MVP.
Balled.
If Nick Foles doesn't call Philly, Doug might have run a fullback draw or something up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles called the play that everybody is getting tattooed on their body right now.
Technically. He suggested the play. Doug actually called it.
Well, he suggested. It was a strong suggestion.
He said, yeah, let's do it.
It was a really good suggestion.
Right. We'll come back all show long. All show long, the best memories and moments from the game, the best Merrill and Mike calls. The next one's coming up next. 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese on a trade day. We're living one of the greatest moments in this city's history. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.